So coming back to the life cycle assessment is based on the organizational security policies. Preliminary risk assessment should identify the most important security requirement for the system. So these reflect how the security policy should implement in that application, identify the assets to be protected, and decide what approach should be used to provide that protection. So your assets are another important things you need to protect it. So as a life cycle risk assessment, each and every asset, the user itself is an asset, the database is another asset, you need to protect it and make sure your organization has a secure data. Further talking about this is, however, maintaining security is about paying attention in detail. So it is impossible for the initial security requirements to take all details that affect the security into account. Life cycle risk assessment identifies the design and implementation details that affect security. This is the important distinction between life cycle risk assessment and preliminary risk assessment. Life cycle risk assessment affects the interpretation of existing security requirements, generating new requirements, and influences the overall design of the system. So further, when we can think also about how do we assess the risk at this stage, you should have much detailed information about what needs to be protected. And you will also know something about the vulnerabilities in the system. So when you know much detailed information, with that thing you know where the vulnerabilities exist. And some of these vulnerabilities will be inherent in it. So with this knowledge, you can very well arrive as what are the possibilities of these vulnerabilities coming at, and how do you ensure that these vulnerabilities are plugged in and it zeroes down. So when you are able to reduce that vulnerabilities to zero, I think you are building a better risk mitigation and you are having a perfect risk assessment also. For example, a vulnerability in all password based system is that an authorized user reveals their password to an unauthorized user. Alternatively, if an organization has a policy of developing the software in the C language, you will know that application may have vulnerabilities because the language does not include array bound checking. Another example you can say in VB Plus. In VB Plus, a smart engineer or software program can very well, it can go in text mode and try to open that script file and read the password. And that's another way of copying the password and using the password. So these were things are getting redeveloped with the new software systems, and we are having the new software which is coming up that's going to do a protection. But that doesn't show and ensure that protection has been made thoroughly. One is to smartly ensure that in all the ways the software which is compiled is not at all readable. It is just one can run the system within the hardware, because hardware knows how to understand the language. But as for the outside human being, he should not have an accessibility in terms of reading that code. Once he reads the code, or else even another way, you need to have the code written in such a way that the password component, which is basically totally encrypted, either it is encrypted or it is in other terms, if it is an image file, redacted. Redacted means you don't keep it exposed. So even an admin should not be able to read it. But in many of the cases, how do you ensure or authenticate that password which was entered or any kind of a important credential entered? It has to be compared, and after comparison, it has to be cross-checked that yes, this is the authenticated and right data being exposed. So there are various ways in terms of writing the code, and that's again depend upon the environment. Now the environment where it is being used, where it is installed, what is that situation, and environment which is used by the customers. So what is their environment? So these are the dynamics one has to really understand, evolve themselves, and keep on redesigning the software. And definitely a day comes that principally it becomes robust. And the day when it comes robust, you have the policies in place, your mitigation is taken into place, you are free to expand the customer base. Alternatively, if an organization has a policy of developing the software in C that we had already discussed, so security risk assessment should be a part of a life cycle activities from requirement engineering to the system deployment. So now you understand, it is not only a design, it is from the requirements gathering process from that place till this system is deployed. I would say not deployed, but after deployment it is being used, and when it is being used, there are no vulnerabilities. that total life cycle ensures that your software is perfect, and when it is perfect, it is getting used. So your challenge becomes only when new technologies comes into the picture or additional users come into the picture, is it similarly protecting? If it is, yes, is it able to do protect? So definitely you have a very good kind of a grid level platform. Why I say grid level platform? Because it is being tested again and again and again, and it has become so robust and capable that it is much more scalable. Apart from robustness, it is scalable also. And it is risk free. But that doesn't mean the day comes that it is totally end of the risk free. The risk will always be there. It has to come exist. You need to see. Risk can happen in the software, it can happen in the infrastructure, it can happen within the human base. Human being also is sometimes prone, because the moment you have a new set of engineers, a new set of users, and this new set of users, they are not so much thorough in terms of managing things. Because in a company, this is another life cycle, that the employees are being churned, and they every time they churn, they keep on replacing it. And that replacement, you need to have definitely risk mitigation in place. Let us talk more about the risk assessment. The process followed is similar to the preliminary risk assessment process, with the addition of activities concerned with the design vulnerability, identification and assessment. The outcome of the risk assessment is a set of engineering decisions that affect the system design or an implementation or limit the way in which it is used. Let us review the lifecycle risk assessment diagram. So how does this diagram, how you will read the diagram, you will see. You start with the regional architecture and you end in the replacement or retirement of the software. Now, overall, this complete cycle, if you see, when you do requirement gathering, so after doing the requirement gathering, the understanding the concept of operation, your system requirements, and your high level design is HLD type, component level, your actual hardware fabrication and software coding, when you start from this base, for each layer, if you see this small circle, these are decision gates. Okay, you do a decision gate, some kind of a control mechanism. So these decision gates, which will help you, and each layer you keep on testing. There is a verification plan, there is a system verification plan, subsystem verification plans, and system validation. So when you go through all these stages, you end up in terms of doing an operations and maintenance, and then you keep on applying the upgrades and changes, and over a period of time there is a huge changes happens. There is either retirement of the software or maybe a replacement. So this is a complete flow. In this complete flow, you will see this particular layer discuss about the technical risk, both these parts. And if you see this layer, this is the management risk. So management risk is nothing but this will be the infrastructure risk management. And this will become like in this area, a technical risk will be the software engineering threat management or risk. So if you see, this is the operational risk are categorized like from risk identification, risk, you assess the risk, or maybe you monitor the risk, then you mitigate, identify, assess, monitor. So this is a cycle. So this whole cycle, you will see, it's an unending. It has to be continuous. You mitigate, it doesn't go to the ending of the risk. After mitigation, you keep on identifying the risk. When you identify, you will definitely end up in an assessing. And in assessing, you will be able to monitor. So it's a continuous life cycle. It is non-ending. So when you talk about actual model of the life cycle of the risk analysis process, based on the preliminary and risk analysis process, the most important difference between these process is that you know how information representation, its representation and distribution, and the database organization for the high level assets that can have been protected. You are also aware of important design decisions such as the software to be reused, infrastructure controls, protection, etc. So based on this information, your analysis identifies changes to the security requirements and the system design to provide additional protection for the important design assets. Two examples illustrate how protection requirements are influenced by the decision on the information representation and distribution. What is number one? You may make a design decision to separate personal patient information and the information about treatment received. So with the key linking these records, The treatment information is much less sensitive than the personal patient information, so may not need an intensive protection or an extensive protection. If the key is protected, then the attacker will only be able to access routine information without being able to link this to an individual patient. That's very important. The moment it is linked to the individual patient, that is under more threat, because that particular information, his life may be threat. Maybe someone can go ahead and change his medical information, someone can go ahead and change his date of birth, someone can go ahead and change his some other information like converting male to female. So that way the future analysis done by the hospitals or the doctors may get differentiated, may get different. So these are the risks involved in hospital management. Assume that at the beginning of the session, a design decision is made to copy patient records to a local client system. Now this allows work to continue if the server is unavailable. But if it is, it makes it possible for a health cover, for a health recover or maybe healthcare worker to access patient records from the laptop, even if no network is available. Now this is if the local system is there. Now, however, you may have two set of records to protect the client copies, and the client copies are subject to additional risk, such as theft of the laptop. So laptop theft is there, laptop is stolen, it's gone. So you therefore have to think about what control should be used to reduce the risk. For example, client records on the laptop may have to be encrypted. This is one option. But what about the backup? So is the backup, which is whenever the client records are changed, are these things backup passed on over the network or through a wireless network? That is also important. Because if such wireless network does not exist or any kind of a network, then the updated information in the laptop, if it gets stolen or theft, your additional information is completely at a risk. You may have to redo the things, or you may have the old records. So these are the challenges one has to think about it. Security risk assessment should continue throughout the lifetime of the system to identify emerging risk and system changes that may have required to cope up with that risk. The process is called operational risk management. New risk may emerge because of changing system requirements, changes in the system infrastructure, or changes in the environment in which system is used. That's where you require the product upgrades, patches, to make sure that the new environment or new changes are accommodated. The process of operational risk assessment is similar to the life cycle risk assessment process, but with the addition of further information about the environment in which the system is used. The environment is important because characteristics of the environment can lead to the new risk to the system. For example, say a system is being used in an environment in which users are frequently interrupted. That's also another risk. If they are getting interrupted multiple times, the data is at risk, the data gets stolen, or data is visible to the others, which is most of the time the confidential data. So risk is that the interruption will mean that the user may have to leave the computer unattended. That is called an interruption. So it may be possible for an unauthorized person to gain access to the information in the system. This could generate a requirement for a password protected screensaver to be run after a short period of inactivity. Now, however, nowadays the intelligent users are having no knowledge about the screensaver password, so they keep on ensuring that the screensaver doesn't get implemented. They keep on moving, let's say for example mouse. When the mouse is moved, the screensaver password will not get locked. Or the user may have to make sure that he immediately applies the screen password before moving out of the system. So these are some of the control mechanisms are required, which has to be educated to the user, and you have to make sure that the user itself is one of the firewall. So what you will call a human firewall. Okay. So human firewall is much more important in terms of learning, understanding, and reducing the risk in these ways. So it is generally true that it is very difficult to add a security to a system after it has been implemented. Therefore, you need to take security issues into the account during the system design process. So again, going back in learning architectural design, good practice, best practices, design for development. So what happens in architectural design? How do architectural design decisions affect the security of a system? One can very well think about this. Second, good practices. What is an accepted good practice when designing a secure system? And the third one comes design for a deployment. So what support should be designed into the systems to avoid the introduction of vulnerabilities when the system is deployed for use. So this complete, it's a another separate life cycle. One has to really have a project manager or maybe an operations manager who is practically really being involved in during the architecture of the design, adding the best practices or the good practices, and also while deployment he has also been involved. So when he is involved in all these things, there is a definitely a possibility that the small vulnerabilities or maybe the any kind of a leakages or threats can be protected immediately, plugged in the gaps, and make sure that it is leading towards a robust proof design, robust environment, so that it is having less security impacts or less threats. So these are some of the things which has to be undertaken. So a security design cannot only happen within the coding, it has to happen outside the coding also. So of course, these are not the only design issues that are important for a security. Every application is different, and security design has to be taken into account for the purpose, criticality, and operational environment of the application. For example, if you are designing a military system, you need to adapt their security classification model, which is quite secret, top secret. So this same thing can be applied to your existing environment also. Again, it depending upon the set of people, the management, who would like to ensure that what kind of security they would like to adopt, how they can protect the customers. It's not protecting the customer, but how they can run their business. Running the business means it is trying to exchange or gaining more revenue. When they gain more revenue, they can infuse more funds, they can deploy more security, they can ensure that the better things are being implemented. So if you are designing a system that maintains personal information, you may have to take into account data protection legislation that places restriction on how data is managed. So these are some of the regulatory authorities who are coming into the place, which is nothing but the GDPR, which is happening across Europe, which is raising the penalties and some kind of a panic systems. So which allows the business users to ensure that the data is protected, the privacy is maintained. So there is a close relationship between the dependability and security. The use of redundancy and diversity, which is fundamental for achieving dependability, may mean that a system can resist and recover from attacks that target specific design or implementation characteristics. Mechanisms to support high level of availability may help to recover the system from the so-called denial of service attack, where the aim of attacker is to bring down the system and stop it working properly. So what is happens in denial of service attacks? Let's say your system is connected to the internet, and that when it is connected to the internet, you are, let us say, first 1,000 users, they are able to access the system. Now the same traffic route, you think about a highway. Now on a highway, let's say there is a 4-lane highway. So how many vehicles can pass at a time? 4 vehicles in a 4-way can pass. Now in that 4 vehicles, if somebody at the same instant of time, 40 vehicles are kept, which is 10 times that ratio. So what will happen? It will slow down the traffic and it will slowly move ahead. And instead of 40 vehicles, let us say another 100 vehicles gets added. And there is some kind of a very close traffic jam. None of the vehicles will move. So this is something similar to denial of service attack. So in denial of service attack, the attacker sends so many multiple requests to that particular firewall or to the system over the internet. The actual genuine users don't have the accessibility to reach. So the internet will not function. There will be denial of service attack. It's kind of a system going down. So this is a simple example to understand what is a denial of service attack. Designing a system to be a secure inevitably involves compromises. It is certainly possible to design multiple security measures into a system that will reduce the chances of successful attack. However, security measures often require a lot of additional computation and so affect the overall performance of the system. For example, you can reduce the chances of confidential information being disclosed by encrypting that information. However, this means that users of the information have to wait for it to be decrypted, and this may slow down their work. So there are also tensions between the security and usability. Security measures sometimes require the user to remember and provide additional information, for example, multiple passwords. However, sometimes user forgets the information. So the additional security means that they can't use the system. So designers therefore have to find a balance between the security, performance and usability. So this will depend on the type of the system and where it is being used. So one of the way out can be happened that instead of remembering multiple passwords, you may ask some question. And now these questions, some of the banks are adopting. When you ask a question, it asks for the unique answer. If that unique answer matches to the stored database, it says you are right. Another thing is that you are using a CAPTCHA code. CAPTCHA code is nothing but it is a manually readable or difficult code where you can easily read it. Not very easily, but you can understand and read it. And in some cases, the same code which is difficult to read, they try to provide a voice related code. So that helps you to add it manually. Now, when you add it manually, the automated any kind of scripted mechanism cannot copy and enter the CAPTCHA. Now there are systems can be designed which can definitely re-verify on its own the CAPTCHA. So when it is re-verifying the CAPTCHA, means it is passing from some kind of a layer of a separate service provider who automatically verifies that the CAPTCHA is not automated, but CAPTCHA is read, entered and copied. So user is free. So it is like CAPTCHA protection. So these are some of the things where multiple passwords can be added, OTP can be added, or passwords, another authentication layer can be added by adding the email authentication, I mean email OTP and a mobile OTP. So this is going to generate more and more security layers, that security layer making sure that it is not being used by the attacker. So designers therefore see they want to find a balance between the security, performance and mobility. For example, in a military system, users are familiar with the high security system and so-called willing to accept and follow process that require frequent checks. Now, in a system for stock trading, aware interruptions of operations for security checks would be completely unacceptable. Because stock system works on a different platform, different cultural way, and military system works in different way. So both cannot have the same culture. They work on a dynamic platform, whereas military system cannot adopt the dynamic platform, but they adopt a different level of dynamic platform. Culturally, they are adopting different platforms. That's why we can summarize how a security engineering can work. A security engineering, let us summarize what we had gone through this chapter is, it focuses on how to develop and maintain software systems that can resist malicious attacks intended to damage computer-based systems or its data. Then security threats can be threats to the confidentiality, integrity and availability of the system or its data. So you have to simply remember CIA, confidentiality C, integrity I, availability A. Security risk management involves assessing the losses that might ensue that attacks on the system and deriving security requirements that are aimed at eliminating or reducing these losses. So design the security involves designing a secure system architecture, following good practice for secure systems design, and including functionalities to minimize the possibility of introducing vulnerabilities when the system is deployed. Security design guidelines sensitize system designers to security issues that may not have considered. So they provide a basis of creating security review checklist. Now, security survivability reflects the ability of a system to continue to deliver essential business or mission critical service to legitimate users while it is under attack or after the attack of the system has been damaged. So overall, after covering all these things, I am sure that you are having sufficient knowledge on modeling the security design and as well as the risk management so that you are able to guide and mitigate the risk or mitigate the security risk wherever you try to design the software and try to deliver or get it deployed. So thank you once again for listening to my wonderful comments. Let us go for the next chapter. Thank you.